Yeah. If only they would listen. You know, and I hope tonight we're going to be listening. Because have you ever tried talking to someone who was not listening to you? Mm. You can get so frustrated, can't you? And Elaine, how you manage at schools and things like that, when you're talking to the kids and they just don't listen, I get so frustrated. But tonight, I'm talking about the spiritual sense of what people are listening to. You know, I wonder just how God feels when he's trying to communicate to us something important. Everything that he talks to us about is important, but we don't listen. In Psalm 81, 11 to 14, you know, we've read a report about people who would not listen to God. You know, and there were so many circumstances there that, you know, he could have said, the door shut, I don't want to know you. But he didn't. He, at the end, fed them with all the goodness of life. You know, and from the song we read that the nation of Israel did not listen to the counsel of God, and they followed their own stubborn hearts, it says. You see, God told Israel through his commandments not to bow down to other gods. But once again, they did not listen. They worshipped idols. It says in 2 Kings 17, they worshipped idols even though the Lord had said that they should not do this. So it's not something new to them. You know, they must have been told over and over again. You know, when we are having meetings and things like that, we always talk about, you know, there is only one God. And these people just couldn't understand what they were being told. They didn't listen. But they choose to follow their own ways instead of God's ways. And do you know, in 722 BC, you know, the Assyrian army came and destroyed Israel itself because they didn't listen to God. And tonight, God desperately wants us to listen. He wants us to listen to what he has to say to us. He doesn't want us to turn a deaf ear to what he has to tell us. You know, when God speaks, it's for a purpose. When God speaks, there's reasoning in it. And he also expects us to hear what he has to say and to follow it as well. You know, I'm one of these people that if you open a box of something and they've got instructions there, I'm the first person to go like that and try and do it. You know, instruction is given for a purpose. You know, and God is telling us, you know, please listen. Listen to what I've got to tell you because it's something good for you. Tonight I want us to think about two points of how we can or how we should listen to God. The first is how does God communicate with his people? Well, in the past God has communicated to his people in many different ways. And the first example I've got here is from Genesis 12, 1 and 2. God spoke to Abraham. And it says, the Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, your people and your father's household and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. We don't know just how God spoke to Abraham though. It doesn't tell us. It doesn't tell us whether he appeared or it was just a voice or there was something there. You know, he may have spoken to Abraham in what we could say an audible voice, such as when Jesus spoke to Saul while on the road to Damascus. The Bible says that Saul fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? You know, and it's just so amazing how God uses people. He also spoke through his prophets. And I've got an example here, but really it wasn't a very good example when I come to think of it. In Jonah 1:1, God told Jonah to go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because of its wickedness. He eventually did, but first off he went the opposite way, didn't he? He wasn't listening correctly. And then, you know, he came to his senses, and then he knew God was right. Also in Hosea 1:4, we read that the Lord began to speak through Hosea, who was a prophet in the northern kingdom. So God did use different people. He also spoke through the angels. In Luke 1:26-38, it says, we read that God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth to tell Mary that she was going to give birth to a son and that his name was going to be Jesus. So God has used many different methods to communicate to his people. And if you see any angels, beware. But how does God communicate to us today? Well, I don't know about you, but God hasn't spoken to me directly. I've never heard him. I might have felt him, but I've never heard him. And he hasn't sent a prophet to speak to me, and I certainly haven't been spoken to by angels. So how does God communicate? Well, there are a couple of ways, and one is through his word, the Bible. And the Bible is the primary way that God communicates with us today, because the Bible is God's revelation of what he wants his people to do and to act and to, should we say, use that as part of life today. Because the Bible is God's instruction book for mankind today. But once again, we've got to be told what we need to do with the Bible. You know, and that's the trouble. Joshua 1:7-8 says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. And if that's not an instruction booklet, I need my hat, because it's got everything that we need to live today and live through what's coming. So just like the book of the law that Joshua was given, the Bible is the same today for us. You know, like I say, it's the huge instruction booklet. Some people may ask, how does God communicate to us through his word? Firstly, when we're reading the scriptures, he's communicating to us all the time. We are reading God's word. It is God's spoken word. He's talking to us through, yes, human writers, but they were all inspired by the Holy Spirit. And secondly, God communicates to us through the scriptures when we search for specific, don't know how I now get that word out, specific answers. Because when we are in need, everything is there for us. You know, several months ago, I was worrying about something, and it was really plaguing me, and I needed help. And you know, the first thing you turn to is your Bible. So I looked up the topic on worrying, because I was worried, and I read several scriptures, but there was one that jumped out at me, of course, and it was Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. And it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I must have read that lots of times. And it was as though God was telling me, read it again, because it's for you. I'm telling you that's what you need. And as I read it again, you know, it just felt as though something had lifted the burden from me. Don't be anxious about anything. You know, and God's telling us tonight, you know, he's speaking to us tonight. You know, we haven't got to be anxious about anything. Whatever's going on in the world today, let God deal with it. Let God deal with it. And it was through this passage that the Lord communicated to me through his word that I needed to stop worrying and start praying. Also, the Lord communicates to us at times through the Holy Spirit. You know, on a Bible study, we often hear the Spirit speaking, you know, and that's a communication with God. He's teaching us, he's learning us, but are we listening? You know, when we sin, we are blessed with the emotion called guilt. People might think, blessed with an emotion called guilt, but that is what it is. We are blessed. When we are blessed, it's because the Holy Spirit is letting us know that we have done wrong or has done something wrong, but it is in order for us to be corrected. It's not the big stick that's hitting us down. It's for our correction, to just put us back on that track, you know, to get us right with God. So when we're experiencing the guilt, we can feel that the Holy Spirit is communicating to us through emotions that we are feeling at that time. Also, the Holy Spirit communicates with us in teaching and guiding in the Bible. You know, have you ever asked God to provide you with a scripture and then all of a sudden the perfect scripture drops into your head? And I know a lot of people who have told me that. Just at the right time, that scripture has come to you. You know, and before I started to speak or minister, whatever people say it is, and I struggled. I used to struggle. It used to take me a month, maybe 6 weeks to get something down on a bit of paper. But now, you know, with reading the Word of God, you know, I can be reading and I can go, that's it. That's what I need to speak about the next time. This is the communication of the Holy Spirit with me, with everyone, and the Bible. John 16 verse 13 says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." Also in John 14 verse 26 it tells us, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." God is speaking through his word. Also, the Holy Spirit sometimes communicates with us by compelling or urging us something or urging us to do something. Paul in Acts 20, verse 22 and 23, it says, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me." Even though he knew things were going to happen to him, Paul still went. You know, Jesus, the great sacrifice, you know, he knew exactly what was going to happen to him right from the start, right to the end. He knew he was going to go to that cross, but he still went. He was listening to his Father, wasn't he? You know, over the past years, the Holy Spirit has urged me to do many things that I probably would never have done unless he had given me that nudge or that kick up the backside. And standing here tonight is one of them. If someone had said 30 odd years ago that I would preach the Word of God, I would have thought they were mad. 30 odd years ago, I would never have thought I would have been standing here speaking the Word of God. So all in all, God still communicates to us today. And his primary ways of communication are through his word and through the Holy Spirit. And so this is how God communicates to his people. So the second point I want to make is, what kind of listener are you tonight? So since we now know God still communicates with us today, we need to be willing to listen to him, don't we? But what kind of listener are you today? Are you the same one that when you were first saved, or are you the same? Have you got the same feeling? Have you got the same love? Have you got the same thoughts about God? I can remember when I first got saved, the best place to be was always in church, and it was always to be with the likes of Bob, Alf, Ray, people like that, and because every time I heard something, it was about God, and I was picking that up, and it was great to know that God was around all the time. But are we willing to listen? I think there's three kinds of listeners, should we say. There's the passive listener. The passive listener does not come to church on a regular basis or reads the Bible to see what God has to say to them. They're the type of person that comes into the church service only at times that suit themselves. And they may be the people who only attend weddings, funerals, or christenings. They don't take any interest or any thought of what the minister is saying in them circumstances. When it's a funeral, if people just sat and thought about what the minister was saying at a funeral, it should really jig their minds to say, that's going to be me shortly. What are they going to say about me? So what will happen to those who do not listen to God's word? Well, 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 8, it says, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what is that punishment? Well, it's an eternity in hell, isn't it? Verse 9 says that they will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out of the presence of God. What a thought. Us being Christians, we want to be up there, don't we? We want to be there as quick as we can. But just think of the thought of being shut out, not being allowed into heaven. I've got family who don't know. And they're going to be those people who are shut out. The second type of listener is the selective listener. And a selective listener listens to only what he wants to hear. Now, Cal would say, I was one of these before I got my hearing aids. Now, she knows I can't miss not hearing her. So I've got no excuse now unless I take them out or turn them down. And it's great because I've got an app on my phone now and I can turn them down on my phone and things like that. It's great. She doesn't know if I've got them on or not. So I can be one of those selective listeners. Some people think that all you have to do to be saved is believe in Jesus Christ. Well, that's a good start. However, it does come to baptism as well. You don't think of what that is necessary for salvation. But believing and baptism go together in being saved. Mark 16, verse 16 says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. They refuse to believe that baptism is important. They aren't listening to the word of God. This is an example of a selective listener, isn't it? They listen to only what they want to hear. And as Christians, we cannot pick and choose what we like and do and do not like in the scriptures. We hear things that maybe sometimes you might cringe, but God is God. We cannot change his word, we cannot add to his word, we cannot take away from his word, because his word is the true word. you know, we must obey all God's teachings as well. 2 John verse 9 says, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. And this leads us to the next type of listener. And this is the eager listener. The eager listener comes seeking to hear diligently what God has to say. The eager listener comes to the church, Bible studies, with their ears open and wants to hear regardless. They want to know if what they're doing in their lives is right or wrong. And if it's wrong, they're always willing to change. The eager listener is accurately depicted in Acts 17 verse 11, where Paul spoke to the Berean Christians, saying, now the Bereans were of more nobler character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see what Paul said was true. So if we wanted to live godly lives like them, then we must listen to God's will and put his words and put them into practice. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 11 that if we listen and obey God, we will be blessed. On the other hand, if we do not listen to God, we will be cursed. So just in conclusion, if I said, does God communicate to us today? I would say, absolutely. Mm-hmm. He does communicate with us. He primarily speaks to us through his word, and at times he communicates through the Holy Spirit. So have we been listening to God lately? You know, there's many things on the television that we can be distracted with. There's many Christian things on the television that we can be distracted with as well. But are we listening to God? Just God only, not man. If you haven't, then you ought to be. And God may be trying to tell you something very important tonight. You know, I hope and pray that every day we will strive to listen and to follow God. You know, we have one God. We have only one God. We have no idols or anything like that. You know, and if we are listening to God, he will fill us with the finest wheat and the best honey. We will have the best from God. You know, can you remember what I said in regards to Thessalonians 1:8? He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know what that punishment is. It is the life of eternity in hell. So if we listen and obey God's word, we receive the opposite. We will have that life and eternity with God. So what do we have to do today? We have to listen. It's as simple as that. Amen.